Chapter 24. Yazid entered the dining hall of his villa. He paused and gave a brief nod at the long table covered with plates, serving dishes, eating utensils, and goblets all cast in bronze. "I trust my friends enjoyed their dinner." Muhammad al-Hakim, a scholarly mullah who was Yazid's shadow, pushed back his chair and stood. "Excellent as always, Ahmad, but we missed your enlightened presence." "Allah does not reveal his wishes to me when my stomach is full," Yazid said with a faint smile. He looked around the room at the five men who had risen to their feet and were acknowledging his authority with varied degrees of respect. No two were dressed alike. Colonel Naguib Bashir, leader of a clandestine organization of pro-Yazid officers, had worn a loose, flowing jalaba with long sleeves and hood to conceal his identity since leaving Cairo. A turban sat like a grotesque lump on the head of al-Hakim, and his frail body was covered from shoulders to feet in a drab robe of black cotton worn smooth. Musa Mohedin, a journalist who was Yazid's chief propagandist, was dressed casually in slacks and a sports shirt open at the neck, while the young Turk of the group, Khaled Fawzi, the ramrod of the Revolutionary Council, wore battle fatigues. Only Suleiman Amar was impeccably dressed in a tailored safari suit. "You must all be wondering why I called this emergency meeting," Yazid announced, "so I won't waste time. Allah has provided me with a plan to rid ourselves of President Hassan and his den of corrupt thieves in one master stroke. Now please be seated and finish your coffee." He walked over to one wall and pushed a switch. A large colored map slowly dropped toward the floor. Amar recognized it as a standard Egyptian school map of South America. A blow-up of the coastal city of Punta del Este, Uruguay, was circled in red. Taped to the lower half of the map was an enlarged photo of a luxury cruise ship. The men around the table sat down again, their faces expressionless. Their interest was hooked. They waited patiently to hear the revelation Allah had bestowed on their religious leader. Only Amar veiled his skepticism. He was too much the realist to believe in pious concoctions. "In 6 days," Yazid began, "the International Economic Summit meetings, brought on by the world monetary crisis, will be held in the resort city of Punta del Este, former scene of the Inter-American Economic and Social Council Conference, which proclaimed the Alliance for Progress. The debtor nations, except Egypt, have banded together to repudiate all loans and erase foreign debt. This act will force hundreds of banks in the United States and Europe to fail. Western bankers and their national financial experts have called for round-the-clock talks in a last-ditch attempt to stall the coming economic catastrophe. Our imperialist bootlicking president is the only holdout. Hassan is scheduled to attend the talks and undermine our Islamic brothers and third-world friends by begging the Western money changers for more loans to keep his eroding grip on Egypt. This we will not permit. With God's help, we will take advantage of this moment to establish a true Islamic government for our people. I say we kill the tyrant and be done with it," Khaled Fawzi said harshly. He was young and arrogant and tactless. Already his impatience had resulted in a failed coup by his student revolutionaries that had cost 30 lives. His dark eyes darted back and forth around the table. "One well-placed ground-to-air missile as Hassan's plane takes off for Uruguay, and we will be rid of his corrupt regime for good."
"And open the door for Defense Minister Abu Hamid to set himself up as dictator before we are ready," finished Musa Mohedin. The famous Egyptian writer was in his mid-60s. He was a witty, urbane, and articulate man with a slow and gracious manner. Mohedin was the only man at the table Amar truly respected. Yazid turned to Bashir. "Is that a valid prediction, Colonel?" Bashir nodded. A vain and shallow man, he was quick to display his narrow vision of military affairs.
"Musa is right. Abu Hamid dangles the prospect of his support for you, using the excuse that he is waiting for you to produce a mandate from the people. This is merely a stalling tactic. Hamid is ambitious. He is banking on an opportunity to use the army to set himself up as president."
"All too true," said Fawzi. "One of his close aides is a member of our movement. He revealed that Hamid plans to install himself as president and consolidate his position by marrying Hala Kamil because of her popularity with the people."
Yazid smiled. "He has built a castle of sand. Hala Kamil will not be available for the marriage ceremony."
Is that a certainty? Asked Amar.
Yes, Yazid answered smoothly. Allah has willed that she not live beyond the next sun.
Please share your revelation, Ahmad, begged Al-Hakim.
Unlike the other dark-skinned men around him, Al-Hakim had the face of a man who had spent half his life in a dungeon. His pale skin seemed almost transparent. Yet the eyes, which were magnified by thick-lensed glasses, were set in unshakable determination. Yazid nodded.
I have been informed by my well-placed sources in Mexico that because of an unexpected heavy invasion of tourists, there is a shortage of luxury hotel rooms and palatial residences in Punta del Este. To keep their nation from losing the summit talks and the international limelight, Uruguayan officials have arranged for the foreign leaders and their statesmen to be hosted on board chartered luxury cruise ships moored in the port. Hassan and the Egyptian delegation will be staying on a British liner called the Lady Flamborough. President De Lorenzo of Mexico and his staff will also be on board.
Yazid paused and looked from one man to the next. Then he said, Allah came to me in a vision and commanded me to seize the ship.
Praise be to Allah, Fazi burst out.
The other men glanced at each other, incredulous. Then they turned their attention back to Yazid expectantly, without voicing a question.
I see by the look in your eyes, my friends, you doubt my vision.
Never, said Al-Hakim solemnly.
But perhaps you misinterpreted Allah's command.
No, it was quite clear. The ship with President Hassan and his ministers must be seized.
For what purpose? Asked Musa Mohideen.
To seal off Hassan and prevent his return to Cairo while our Islamic forces sweep into power.
Abu Hamid will call out the army to foil any overthrow other than his, cautioned Colonel Bashir. I know this for a fact.
Hamid cannot stop a tidal wave of revolutionary fervor, said Yazid. Civil unrest is at a peak. The masses are fed up with harsh austerity brought on by payment demands on foreign loans. He and Hassan are cutting their own throats by not denouncing the godless moneylenders. Egypt can only be saved by embracing the purity of Islamic law. Khaled Fazi leapt to his feet and raised a fist. You have only to give me the order, Ahmad, and I will have a million people in the streets.
Yazid paused, breathing heavily with religious zeal. Then he said, The people will lead. I will follow.
The expression on Al-Hakim's face was grave.
I must confess I have dark misgivings.
You are a coward, Fazi snapped in rash defiance.
Mohammed Al-Hakim is wiser than you, said Mohideen patiently. I know his mind. He does not wish a repeat of the Achille Lauro fiasco in 1985, when Palestinians commandeered the Italian cruise liner and murdered an old Jew invalid in a wheelchair.
Bashir spoke up.
Terrorist slaughter will not help our cause.
You wish to go against the will of Allah, said Yazid, annoyed.
Everyone began talking at once. The room went sour with vehemence as they argued back and forth. Only Amar remained detached.
They're idiots, he thought, goddamned idiots.
He tuned out of the debate and stared at the photo of the cruise ship. The wheels inside his head began to shift through the gears.
We are not only Egyptians, argued Bashir, we are Arabs. The other Arab nations will turn against us if we murder our officials and any of theirs who get in the way. They won't see it as a gift from Allah, but rather as a political terrorist plot.
Mohideen gestured toward Fawzi. Khaled made a point. Better to kill Hassan on home territory than launch a bloodbath on board a ship holding the leader of Mexico and his delegation as well.
We cannot condone an act of mass terrorism, said Al-Hakim. The negative consequences for our new government would be disastrous.
You are all worms who belong in Hassan's camp, Fawzi spat. I say attack the ship and show the world our power.
Nobody paid any attention to the militant fanatic who was viciously anti-Jew and anti-Christian.
Don't you see, Ahmad, pleaded Bashir. Security in Punta del Este will be impossible to penetrate. Uruguayan patrol boats will be thick as locusts. Every ship housing summit leaders will be heavily guarded. You're talking a suicide assault by an army of commandos. It simply can't be done.
We will have help from a source that must remain confidential, said Yazid. He turned and studied Amar.
You, Suleiman, you're our expert on undercover operations. If a team of our best fighters can be smuggled on board the Lady Flamborough without detection, Can the ship be taken and held until we can form a republic in the name of Islam?
Yes, replied Amar, without taking his eyes off the cruise ship's photo. The voice was quiet, but it carried total conviction.
6 days is cutting it slim, but the ship can be carried with 10 experienced fighting men and 5 experienced seamen, with no bloodshed, providing we have the element of surprise. Yazid's eyes gleamed.
Ah, I knew I could count on you. Impossible, Bashir roared. You could never smuggle that many men into Uruguay without arousing suspicion. And even if through some miracle you captured the ship and subdued the crew, every special assault team in the West would be swarming over your hide inside of 24 hours. Threats to kill the hostages won't stop them. You'd be lucky to hold out more than a few hours.
I can take and hold the Lady Flamborough for 2 weeks. Bashir shook his head.
You're lost in a dream world.
How is that possible? Asked Mohideen. I'm interested in learning how you expect to outwit an army of highly trained international security forces without a pitched battle.
I don't intend to fight.
This is nonsense, Yazid said, shocked.
Not really, said Amar. It's all in knowing the trick.
Trick?
Precisely. Amar smiled benignly. You see, I plan on making the Lady Flamborough, her crew and passengers, all disappear.